Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, another beautiful Sunday morning to praise our God. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday. Big, big Sunday where we celebrate what the Holy Spirit did on Pentecost and what it means for us. One of the truths that the Holy Spirit reveals to us is that God is three in one, a Trinity. It's mind-boggling. We can't possibly understand or comprehend it, and yet, as you'll see today, even though we can't understand the Trinity, we can indeed understand what the Trinity brings us, and that's peace and eternal life. So we'll celebrate that today. We'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper. So another incomprehensible truth, we receive Jesus' body and blood. Prepare your minds and hearts to receive that body and blood today. This is a meal where we celebrate our unity. So if you are not one with us, but you would like to commune with us in the future, please speak to myself after the service and we can talk about how we can make that happen. We'll begin our worship this morning with hymn 260 in the Red Songbooks. May God bless you as you worship. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and he's given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, the Son, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Now that we have received God's mercy, we ask for his continued mercy in our day-to-day lives. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen. Amen.
The works of the triune God are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Almighty God and Father, dwelling in majesty and mystery, filling and renewing all creation by your eternal Spirit, and manifesting your saving grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, in mercy cleanse our hearts and lips, that, free from doubt and fear, we may ever worship you, one true immortal God, with your Son and the Holy Spirit, living and reigning, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As we celebrate our triune God and what he brings to us, we go first of all to our first lesson, Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. This is where God gives Moses and Aaron a blessing for the Israelites. We see our triune God give this threefold blessing and what it means. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." The word of the Lord. We respond to that with hymn 581 in the Red Song Books, "Father, We Praise You."
Thank you.
Second lesson comes from 1 John chapter 5. And John is always so simple. He's always so straight to the point, and he goes back and forth and makes sure that you understand what he's saying. And really, take a look at what he emphasizes about our triune God here and what he gives to us. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. The word of the Lord. Now speak with me the verse of the day from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Alleluia. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson comes from John chapter 16, and if the Father is he who blesses us and plans everything, the Son is who secured salvation for us, then who is it that gives us this truth? John tells us, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 177, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. Thank you. God's grace is yours, and by God I mean the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who blesses you. Amen. Sermon text comes from the first lesson. We'll take a look at the blessing itself from Numbers chapter 6, but let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your love. Amen. This building that we're in is usually called a church. God's people collectively are called the church. Anybody know what the word church means, where it comes from? The etymology of the word church? Actually, it's traced all the way back to the Greek word for Lord. Kyrie, Kyrios. Have you heard of Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy? You can especially hear that in the German word for church, Kirche, if you know German. Church. Back in AD 300-ish, Christians, whatever house that they would gather in, they would actually write on their door that Greek word that meant of the Lord. This is the Lord's. This is the Lord's house. That's why we call this the church. That's why you are called the church. Because we like to put names on things. We like to put our name on something. When we put our name on something, that means that's ours, right? We put our name on our property. We give our names to our family. God does the same thing. You are of the Lord. He has placed his name on you. But with a God that is triune, that is so incomprehensible, what does that mean? How can we possibly understand who he is and what that name means and brings? Well, the Lord wanted to make that clear to the Israelites. He wanted to show them exactly who he was, and so what he did is he gave Moses and Aaron what we call this Aaronic blessing. Aaron, as the priest, was going to lift his hands and bless his people by saying these words. For thousands of years, these same words have been blessing God's people. They bless you at the end of every worship service. Maybe you don't even think about what the words mean. Well, today we're going to take a look. We're going to see what it means when the Lord places his name on you. Now, before we get to the blessing itself, let's stop and recognize something. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them," let's not blow past that on our way to the blessing here. I think we're so used to seeing that so often as we read scripture, as we hear it. The Lord said. Those are not small words, brothers and sisters. The Lord said, who are we that the incomprehensible triune God would condescend in a good way and communicate and reveal who he is to us? He would use our human form of communication we call language to reveal who he is. Who are we? That alone right there shows God's care and his love and how active he is in our lives. And we especially see how active and how much he cares for us in the first part of the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's two sides of the same coin. The Lord bless you. That means that he provides for you. I want you today, especially you fathers, to reflect on the number of blessings you have. Count your blessings today. When something comes up, think, boy, that it sure is a blessing. We don't do that enough, do we? The Lord puts food on our tables. He puts clothing on our backs. He puts roofs over our heads. He gives us jobs so we can earn an income to provide for our needs. And I say needs, not luxuries. Needs. He promises to provide for our needs. Land, cattle, and all that I own. Maybe you've heard that if you've taken catechism class. It's drilled in there. The Lord provides for us. And it's not just physically. It's spiritually too. He gives us his word. He speaks to us through there. He gives us this church where we can worship him. He gives us the church a group of like-minded Christians that we can grow with, that we can encourage and build up each other with. The Lord truly blesses us. But his blessing isn't just what he provides. It's also what he protects us from. The Lord bless you and keep you. That word keep is in the Hebrew means to watch out for, to guard, to protect. Think about all the things that the Lord protects us from. He makes sure that we don't have any harm or danger. Are we going to have injury and illness? Sure. Are we going to have difficulties and rough patches where maybe we're out of work for a little while? Sure. But the Lord uses all of that, just like a good father would, for our spiritual well-being, and that's the whole point. He prioritizes our spiritual well-being, and that's how he keeps us especially and protects us. He protects us from the devil. Sometimes we have a hard time talking about the devil, especially with non-Christians, because the world has turned the devil into some laughable thing. Oh, ha, ha, Satan, right? No, he's real, and he hates you. He wants you to die forever. He wants to separate you from God forever. And God protects you from him. Imagine what the devil could do to us if he was unleashed. But he's leashed. God is keeping us. God is also keeping us from ourselves. We're sinful. We all have a sinful nature, that we fall into sinful tendencies. The Lord helps protect us from that. He gives us his law that works as a curb, where if we're about to go and be caught into sin, it reminds us, oh, that's bad. Or if we are caught in a sin, that law strikes our hearts, and it's painful. We don't like to hear it. I always tell a lot of people in Bible class that during the sermon, when the pastor's confronting sin, that's where I see a lot of people go like this. They don't want to make eye contact. Sometimes we want to ignore it. Sometimes it really hits a nerve. It's painful. But that's the Father's care. That's how you know that he's working, when he confronts your sin. The Lord truly does bless us and keep us. And on this Trinity Sunday, when you think about this particular part of the blessing, who comes to mind the most out of the persons of the Trinity? The Father. The Father is the one we celebrate as our maker and preserver. He is the one that does all of this for us. And yet, how often can we spurn our Father's care? On Father's Day, no less, we're talking about this. You and I so often can turn away from God and what he provides for us. He gives us everything that we need for all of our needs, and yet we can prioritize our luxuries. And then we cry, Lord, why aren't you providing? Spiritually, we can be downtrodden and hurt, and yet he provides all we need to help build us up, and we despise it. We ignore it. Sometimes it's almost like we put ourselves in the path of danger. We almost call the devil to our side when we want to sin. Boy, when you consider all of this, we realize, yes, we are God's created beings, but we are God's created beings who have rebelled. When you think about all this care that God gives us, we realize that we don't deserve it. Which is why God reveals what he reveals to us in the second part of the blessing. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. In the Old Testament especially, but throughout Scripture, the Lord's face is usually talked about when it's trying to convey some sort of emotion that the Lord is feeling. Sometimes it's the Lord's face burning, as in burning with anger over sin. And that's the face that we know that we deserve. And yet, what does the Lord tell Moses to say? The Lord make his face shine on you. Instead of burning with anger, the Lord is smiling at you. The beams of his smile shine through that gloomy part of your life and of your heart. And he smiles upon you. When you have that moment when you sin, and you feel like you have disappointed God. And fathers, come on. One of the best things to say as discipline for a father is, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Oh, that hurts. Doesn't that hurt? You and I feel the same way with God. When we have disappointed him, we don't even want to look at him. We feel that guilt and we want to push him away. But if only we would look up, we would see that God is smiling upon us and saying, I forgive you. Or when we're mad at God because we go through all these difficulties and rough patches and we feel like God must be angry at us or must hate us, we don't want to look up. But if we would just look up, we would see that he's smiling upon us and saying, I've got this. I've got you. Or when we have that moment in life where we have a difficult choice. We have two paths that we can take, and we don't know which one. And we think, Lord, if you would just tell me which path I can take, just give me some sort of sign to make it obvious so that I can make a good choice, the one that you want me to make. If we would just look up and realize that God is smiling at us, saying, make a choice. I'll be with you. I will turn it into a blessing for you. I will make you into a blessing for those around you. You've got two good godly choices. Make a choice. I'm there with you all the way. The Lord does shine his face on us. And what have we done to deserve it? Nothing. He just gives it to us. Which is why the parallel statement to this in the second part of the blessing is, and be gracious to you. It's simply his grace of why he gives this to you. It's completely outside of you. And that gives us two big comforts. First of all, if it's by grace, then it means you don't have to earn it. You don't have to try to turn God's face from a frown to a smile. He's already smiling at you. Everything that he feels and does for you, it's all outside of you. He does it for you freely. And secondly, that gives us comfort because then that means if it's outside of us, if it's apart from us, then that means there's nothing that we can do to nullify God's grace to us. We can't invalidate it. We can't cancel it out. What I mean by that is this. In life, when you make a huge blunder, you're never going to look up to God and God goes, well, I guess that means Jesus didn't pay for your sins. No, he paid for everyone's sins. That's his grace, 100%. Every single sin. You cannot nullify God's grace. Yes, we can reject it through unbelief, but through faith, you are standing in it. It is what God gives you. It is outside of you being bestowed. God shines his face and is gracious to you. I think it's pretty obvious when we're talking about persons of the Trinity who matches up the best and is reflected the most in this one. Jesus, the Son, our crucified, risen, and ascended Savior. He's the one who, with all the sin that we committed and all the burning anger that we stored up, he's the one that took that. And on the cross, when that happened, the Lord was smiling at us. And when Jesus was raised to life, you know his face was shining because of what he had done for you and me. Completely him, God be praised, not us. Through Jesus, when we have of the Lord written on our hearts, forgiven, graced, shined upon. And I don't know about you, but that sure gives me something that the world cannot give. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Here we go with the Lord's face again. This time it's turning toward you. Literally, it's being lifted up to you. When you're mad at somebody, what do you want to do? I can't even look at you. But that's what Jesus took on the cross for you and me. So that means that now God is indeed looking right at you. You have his attention. His gaze is right upon you. And when you think about all the things we've already talked about, this Almighty God, incomprehensible, all-powerful, who blesses and keeps, who graciously smiles upon us, and his attention is on you, what more is there in life? What could you possibly want that would be greater than that? There's nothing. There's nothing that is more important, nothing that has more meaning. As a created being in this world, it doesn't get better than that. And that's what the Lord gives to you. Personally, he gives it to you. Who's the one that gives it to you? The Holy Spirit. If God the Father planned it, God the Son secured that peace, the Holy Spirit is the one who imparts that to your heart personally. Because all of these yous in the blessing, singular. Yes, Moses and Aaron were supposed to say this to the Israelites. Yes, we say this at the end of the worship to all of you. To collectively, you know how in English we can have the word you mean singular or plural? Here in the Hebrew, it's only singular. That means when God is bestowing his name upon you, he's bringing it to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. It's that peace that brings tranquility. It silences all of our guilt. It calms all of our fears, whether they're economic or physical or spiritual or eternal. All of our worries go away. It's a peace that makes you feel whole and complete. And that is exactly what this word peace means in the Hebrew. It's the word shalom. Wholeness, completeness, through and through just peace. Because you know that of the Lord means a lot of things for you. So what kind of God was the Lord trying to communicate that he was to the Israelites and to you and me? Quite obviously, he is the God of free and faithful grace. That's who he is. That's what his name means. And he has given that name to you. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. When the Lord wrote of the Lord in your heart, he imparted all of these blessings to you. When you hear this at the end of the worship service, there the Holy Spirit is, again, imparting these blessings to you. And if you remember back 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' ascension. As he was ascending, what was he doing? He lifted up his hands and he was blessing his disciples, communicating to them that he is always blessing them. That means that you remember that he will always bless, keep, make his face shine, be gracious, turn his face toward, and give you peace. Because you are his church. You are of the Lord. The Lord has placed his name on you. Amen. Please stand. May the Lord continue to bestow upon you the peace of his name. Amen. We now confess our faith in our triune God according to the words of the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose.
rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
In the prayer of the church, we are going to pray for all of those with health challenges, including the Lazaga's grandson, Jaden, and Michelle Kuhlman. Both of them are undergoing surgery this week. I will also pray for those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. We pray the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer after that. Lord, we thank you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years to your glory. We also thank you for your care over Jaden and Michelle. Guide them and their doctors. Bless their recovery. Comfort them with the hope of the resurrection. And sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Heavenly Father, happy Father's Day. Today we praise you, along with the Son and the Holy Spirit, for your care and love. We thank you for your plan of salvation for us. We glorify your gracious name for providing for us and protecting us. We praise you for displaying the perfect kindness and selflessness that all fathers are to emulate. We also thank you for the care you've given us through those who have been our fathers, whether their care has been for our physical or spiritual well-being. Bless this day for all fathers and continue to bless their work to the glory of your name. It is in the name of Jesus, your Son, that we ask all of these things, and we join together to pray as he has taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In perfect unity with his Son and the Holy Spirit, he is the source, guide, and goal of our lives now and always. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 745 in the Blue Songbooks. Good morning. It's a pleasure worshiping our triune God with you. A few announcements for you. First of all, we'll continue with our Bible studies today. So in between services, we will have the Gospel of Luke discussion here in the sanctuary. Our Bible information class will start. Will continue with lesson two in the chapel. So if you'd like to learn more about the basics of the faith or basically what we just celebrated today in the large part. Come join us over there in the chapel. A few announcements. Let's see. We have our new teacher in our school has arrived this last week. As far as I know, they have made it safely. Darren and Ruth, they're expecting in July, so keep them in your prayers. And you see them walking around today, give them a big hi, hello, handshake, and welcome. So new family members arrived today. All right, we have our Dad's Bible discussion this Friday at 6 a.m. Black Bear Diner. If you are a dad or if you want to be a dad someday or whatever, just come and talk about the Bible, eat some good food. Black Bear Diner, 6 a.m. It's early, but there's good coffee. There's a group going to the Aerospace Museum on Saturday, June 22nd, so make sure to sign up for that. There's more information in the weekly news and on the Prime Timers board, I believe. We have a big couple of camps coming up next month. That's Tree of Life Bible Camp. Sign up for that online. There's more information in the weekly news about that as well. Also for volunteering. Vacation Bible School, same thing. That one you can find on our website. Make sure to get the word out about that and let people know before it fills up. So Vacation Bible School coming up in July. Just to let you know that the new mission in Folsom, when they did not receive a graduate, the mission board called from the field, Pastor David Kalpeen. He serves right now in Littleton, Colorado. So keep him in your prayers as he considers which where he can best serve the kingdom, here in or over there in Folsom, or still in Littleton, Colorado. Also, on June 18th, I believe that's Tuesday, is going to be the victory service for Dennis Kaiser. He was called home to our Lord a couple of weeks ago. Keep his family in your prayers, but if you'd like to celebrate Christ's work in his life, we'll do that 2 p.m. on Tuesday, June 18th. All the other announcements you can find in the weekly news. May God continue to bless you every day. Stick around and greet one another.